My name is Kaylon Taylor Clark, and as Kathy mentioned, I'm from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and the Harvard School of Public Health. And I'm really pleased to be here on this panel with these with my distinguished colleagues because we're doing some work, and this is really what I want to present to you today is something around a theoretical model that we're using in the Vishwanath lab. My mentor and my colleague is also out in the audience, Sherry Flint Wallington, has developed a theoretical model for really understanding communication inequalities at a structural level. And so really what I'd like to do today is take you through that. A lot of what we do in terms of toolkits, et cetera, has been really individually focused. We want to think about the individual and how they might be able to navigate a system. But what we're going to do in this presentation is take a little bit of a step back and think about how structures might influence people's abilities to effectively utilize information. So today, the topic is communication inequalities, but I'm using HPV as a case study. But of course, we can think about communication inequalities in a number of different areas, and so I'm hoping to take us through that today. So first, I'd like to outline the theoretical model that Dr. Vishwanath and the lab is using to understand the effects of HPV communication inequalities on high-risk communities. And I'm going to only focus on black women today. I know that in the paper it said black and Latino women, but this is actually focused on black women. And I would be happy to answer questions about Latino women after the session, but since we only have 15 minutes. And then the second piece is to describe communication barriers that are affecting black women's awareness about HPV. And finally, I'd like to present some media and community-based considerations for policy and research. Before I step into that, I'd like to just take a step to think about human papillomavirus. Human papillomavirus affects 20 million Americans and causes up to 70% of cervical cancer cases. Many of you probably know Gardasil, which is a new vaccine that has come out for HPV, has been touted for women and girls aged 9 to 26. And so what I really wanted to be able to understand is black women's awareness of HPV. Where do they stand? How do they understand this virus? And then what are the communication barriers that are affecting their awareness? And so that's what we're going to look at today. So just to take a little bit of a step back and think about kind of the background and the motivation for why we wanted to understand black women's awareness in particular, what we did as a literature review and what we found was that in general, the general public has very little knowledge of HPV. They're very unaware for the most part. And many studies have been done, as you'll see. All these numbers, at the end, there's a reference slide with these numbers. But what you actually know is that low levels of HPV awareness are among many people in the general public. That increased HPV awareness is actually, and there were several studies that have shown this, has been actually associated with prior history of an STI, of a sexually transmitted infection. What this means, and what this means is that what's happening is women and men are going to the doctor before they actually understand and getting actually diagnosed with this virus before they actually have ever been aware of it. So what we're trying to do in communications as communications researchers is we're trying to actually prevent that. We're trying to start at the beginning so that people are aware of HPV before they actually ever get it. And so that's one of the reasons that we're motivated to do this work. The third piece is that qualitative research shows that minority communities in particular, both internationally and there was a study done in Chicago that showed that minority communities in particular are very concerned about a lack of information about HPV in their communities. And so that's what's motivating us today. So I just want to take us through a little bit of this structural influence model of health so that we can understand and wrap our heads around how we're thinking about it at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And traditional models of health inequality show that there are social determinants that are affecting people's health outcomes, that in fact where you live, your income, your community's income, your community's education is going to have a significant impact on both your health cognitions, your risk perceptions, your healthcare behaviors, and your health preventive behaviors in general. But what Vishwanath says is, well, let's think about communication inequality and how that might actually affect our health outcomes. And what we argue is that communication, health communication outcomes can not just be an outcome, but can be a mediating factor in affecting people's health. And what we argue is that there's four ways that we might think about this. First, in terms of people's media access and exposure, to information at all? What kind of channels do they get their information through? What kind of sources? And this was actually mentioned by my colleague, so this is really exciting for me again. And then how do they seek information? What kind of, where are they going for information? How are they actually looking for information? Are they looking for information? Do they feel that they have a barrier in being able to actually search for information? The third piece is information processing, and that's really how do folks understand information, and both of my colleagues described sort of needing a 10th grade level for the general audience, and what we're wondering about is what about minority communities or what about low SEP communities? Is there something different about the information that we might present to those folks that we really need to account for when we are putting these kinds of toolkits together, for example? And the final piece is information utilization. So ultimately, you can give people, and, you know, this is the quandary that I have all the time as a communication researcher. I can give you as much information as I want, but if you don't have the resources to do anything about it, it's not going to work. I can tell you, go get healthcare, but if you don't have a physician, it's just simply not going to work. So we really also need to understand information utilization in that context. So what I'm doing today is just presenting to you a mixed methods approach. First, I'm going to present to you some quantitative analyses that we did with the Health Information National Trends Survey through NCI. And that data actually, you can see what the actual survey data set itself is here. But my colleague Sherry Flint Wallington actually was the lead author on this paper. And what she did was looked at how social determinants, including education, how mediating, moderating conditions, including age and race and ethnicity and other things, affected people's and how access to the internet, newspaper watching, and watching news on health had actually affected people's awareness about HPV, black women's awareness in particular. And what we actually found, first we looked at women in general, and what we actually found was that not having heard of HPV was significantly associated with being black and being older. Having lower than college education, few social networks, no access to the internet, and a lower likelihood of reading the newspaper. But when we stratified the sample and just looked at black women, we found that no access to the internet, this idea of digital divide is coming up again, even though we've tried to get it out of our minds, it's coming up again, that no access to the internet was actually significantly associated with black women's lack of awareness about HPV. Also having lower than college education. These are the numbers. If you really care to look at them, it's kind of busy, so I'm going to skip over it. But ultimately, what we said was, okay, lack of access to the internet is a significant predictor of not knowing about HPV, of black women's lack of awareness about HPV. So what we then did was looked at some of our focus group data on communication inequalities among black women. And so we conducted four focus groups that looked at these communication barriers specifically around the internet. And in this study, what we actually looked at was whether social determinants, mediating, moderating conditions, as I described before, had an effect on people's exposure and access to different channels of information, like I said before, seeking, processing, and utilizing that information. And what I'm wanting to do is just focus on the internet access and processing challenges. And what we found in those focus groups was that black women often were saying, look, there's still a digital divide, as I said before, there's still a digital divide that we really don't have access to the internet in the way that we want to. And one of the things that was very interesting that a lot of folks brought up, they said, well, if we don't have internet access, and my colleague said 87% or so had actual access to the internet, and our studies showed with black women in particular that there was significantly lower levels of access. But what they said was, we can actually access the internet at libraries, we can actually access the internet at community health centers, and they found actually those venues as extraordinarily important channels to get to actually access this internet. And so we found that was something that we could think about when we're actually putting these toolkits forth. But in terms of processing the information on the internet, a lot of these black women that we interviewed said, there's just too much information online. I get sick of it. I go in there and I'm trying to do this search and I just get overwhelmed. I can't deal with it, so I just stop. I get frustrated and I just stop. And that's when the information seeking stops. And so what we have to understand is that we have to actually not just provide the internet, but we also have to be able to get over some of those challenges in terms of processing. One of the other pieces that they said, and this is around this idea of digital inequality, and we talk about the digital divide in terms of access to the internet, but we talk about digital inequality in terms of actually being able to navigate and understand the information on the internet, and that's actually become a huge part of what we're doing at the Vishwanath Lab. And so part of the piece that these black women actually focused and targeted on was that there's this huge digital inequality, that ultimately they don't understand the medical terminology. It's way above their heads. As soon as they see it, they just turn it off, and they don't want to see it again. And then they go to family and friends or to someone else, to another channel of information, to actually get that information. And so that was another piece that was brought up. So one of the things that they argued was a way that we can think about an opportunity to increase processing and utilization, particularly on the internet. Several people said, provide us a specific URL, just as my colleague did. He provided, you know, the American Cancer Society, and he said, here's where you can go, one URL. And I just want to give you a quote that one of our focus group participants said. You know, she said, you know, these doctors, that my doctor told me, stop looking for all this information all over the web. Just go to two sites, and that will give you the information that you need to know about cancer, about HPV, about breast cancer, and these other things. And ultimately, she said, you know, it keeps me on base. If I can actually focus on that one URL, and it's through my trusted provider, because actually what we found was that interpersonal channels are the most trusted source of information, that these physicians and family and friends who are in the medical field are very trusted sources of information. And so if they can provide me this specific URL that I feel like I can be kept on base, that really actually makes me feel empowered. And a lot of people talked about this empowerment. The other piece was that the images of people like me, and I think my colleague Scholastique talked about this a little bit, which was that we really need to think about who we're using as on the platform. And you can see here Aisha Tyler is actually talks a lot about HPV now, and she's actually come out a lot in the news. And when we talk about those images and we think about how that's going to resonate with black women, they said, yeah, we absolutely need that. We absolutely need not just celebrities, but we need celebrities that look like us, that have the same experience as us, and you know, that will ultimately be able to tell us what we need to do and how we need to get there. But the other piece outside of the internet was that ultimately these non-media and traditional media are really also extraordinarily important channels of information. And so what they argued was that community gatherings, churches, health fairs are extraordinarily important in getting the word out. So one of the things I was thinking about as my colleague was talking was that, you know, where do we actually put this toolkit? So you've developed the toolkit for the individual, and now how are communities going to be able to access this information? And one of the ways that this was described in these focus groups was that, you know, health fairs are a good way to do that. You've got this CD-ROM, and you can actually pass this out at a place where the entire community is going, where they actually trust the information that's actually being put forth. And so that's one piece that was actually really important in terms of a channel of information. The other piece that was interesting is that even though African Americans have been shown to have lower newspaper readership, and as I said to you before in our quantitative analysis, that lower newspaper readership actually meant lower levels of awareness. But when we looked at our focus groups, we actually found that community circulars and local newspapers are actually quite trusted sources of information. That ultimately in Boston, we have something called The Banner, and it's an African American newspaper. And it was not just brought up by one group. It was brought up by every single group that we talked to. This one particular local newspaper. And they said, look, they have minority concerns, they care about us, they speak in the language that we understand, that they and in fact, I think a lot of the journalists, in fact, in the newspaper are from the area. And so that's one of the pieces that we, you know, they really were interested in getting information from. So just in a summary, again, when we're thinking about communication, what we're really trying to do is get outside of just the individual basis and understand how structures and communities might influence people's abilities to access, process, and utilize information. And so these are just some of the points, as I said before, that might be extraordinarily helpful in not just getting these toolkits together, but getting them out to the communities. And I want to thank you very much for your time.